and welcome back to the Counseling Corner. I am here with my forever co-host, Emmy, and we have a super special guest today who hasn't been on the podcast in a while, and she is actually the director of our office, which we talk a lot about on the podcast, Cora Gables Counseling Center. Lucy is here, and before I hand it over to her to tell us a little bit about herself, I want to let you guys know we're going to be talking about self-love and self-worth today, which is, I think, something we hear about very often. And some of us are like, okay, yeah, but how? Right? What am I doing wrong? What am I doing right? How do I make this happen? How do I love myself? So I think it's a great topic, especially for this season that's all about giving love, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And also it'll be released as part of the series that we have that we'll be doing on social media and how that comes up for people in social media, debunking social media.
Debunking myths. Things on social media, and just kind of how social media affects these things. And so, Lucy, welcome back to the Counseling Corner.
Thank you for having me. And yes, when you reached
Lucy,
out.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Also, I want to make sure that you tell our listeners a little bit about the center too, because you're a licensed marriage and family therapist, but you're the director and owner of the center. So I think it would be good before we start off that you also talk a little bit, say something about the center.
So, yes, I'm Lucy Fernandez Ibeda. I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I've been in private practice for 35 years now. And I opened up the center 20 years ago this year. So the idea with the center was to be able to provide everything under the umbrella of mental health to children, adolescents, families, individuals, elderly, everything that we could really, you know, and bring to the table, and for us to grow providing those services. And so we have a group of I believe we're now 30 clinicians, life coaches, psychiatrists, psychologists, licensed marriage and family therapists, social workers, and mental health counselors. We also have the Happiness Project, which is a project that we provide learning for students from different universities, including Carlos Albizu and the University of Miami, Wake Forest. We provide supervision and training, and we're able to provide services for the community where they would otherwise not be able to get that service. So we have a lot of wonderful things going on in the center. And amongst them is the podcast that we do, because it gets our voice. You know, the therapists are in the office, and so it gets the voice out there to the community, getting to know us a little bit more.
I love it.
So when you put out the topic, I thought it was wonderful, because one of the things that kind of like concerns me regarding social media is, I struggled with it for a long time. You know, it's of the times, and it's here to stay, and it's only increasing and multiplying and growing. And so we need to look to see in what way it can serve us in our life and be more aware of how it's destructive. And so there's a lot of things that are very destructive about what we do, not social media, but what we do with social media.
Yeah.
And so the topic of self-worth, love is one of the things that I think it's very challenged and compromised with social media, because there's a big difference between self-worth, self-confidence, self-esteem, you know, things that have to come from the self. There's a lot that is constantly challenging. There's a common denominator for all of us as human beings, I have found, is this underlying insecurity of sorts that comes from our infancy, from our childhood. We're going coming to this world, and we, you know, we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to go. We don't know how to show up in life. And so we start learning, and we are praised when we do well. We are redirected when we need to, you know, go in a different direction. Some people are very neglected emotionally, so there's consequences that can come with that, or abused, and the consequences that come with that. So that the issue of self-worth is an important one for us all. This isn't, you know, this is something that people, the more we understand it, the more profound we get into that, the more peace we will make with all of our imperfections, with all of the things that we have done in the past that we're not necessarily proud of or happy about. We need to make peace and love ourselves in spite of those things. But that comes from within. And then the challenge with social media is that it's the praise, it's the likes, it's the, you know, that makes us feel wanted, not, you know, we're up for grabs for, with, you know, anything, you know, I mean, people count who looked at, who liked me, who's following me, who's, and as a reflection of their self-worth, and their self-worth is, has to come from us. And my self-worth, I can only provide myself with. And the other extreme of that, we catapult to another, there's that point, we catapult to feeding narcissism, narcissistic traits in us, which are catastrophic. Not only do they create greater voids in our self-worth, but we end up, it ends up being consequential to those around us as well. We're not only hurting ourselves, we're hurting those around us. Seeking approval inappropriately, seeking, you know, when we are in committed relationships, we, you know, the desire becomes so powerful and it overrides any sense of reason. And the worst part of that is that in doing that, we're putting a Band-Aid over this big void of not having self-worth, because if I have it, I don't need to be seeking that. We, you know, it's so fun. I love looking at the things that people post and events that are going on. I mean, there's a lot of fun things about it. When we're needing to validate ourselves through those scenarios, through those mediums, it's, I think it's consequential to us. Where does the line lie? I think that the more aware and conscious we are, and the more we learn about what true self-worth is, the less self-destructive we will be.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I think, you know, sorry to interrupt.
No, Gabby. Go Gabby.
I think what one of the things that you mentioned with which is very specific to social media is that it's a really, really, really smart machine, right? They pay attention to how long you look at a post, what that post is about, how often you go back to look at a page, and they will curate your social media, specifically what shows up for you based on what you look at. So if you are looking at, you know, fitness models constantly and comparing yourself, and let's say you have an eating disorder or any kind of body dysmorphia, any issues with your body, everything that's showing up on your social media is these perfect bodies, which we know are not perfect, but man, I can get into a really great pose where I look like I got a tiny waist, a big butt, and, you know, a perfect jawline. But as soon as I rest and breathe out, you see it all. Right? And so these fake images of perfection make us feel like we need to reach that and we need to reach for that. And then social media is giving, feeding us this information constantly. And so, you know, what you're saying, this kind of competition and feeding the narcissism, it also feeds insecurity.
Absolutely. That is, I mean, the narcissist and in their essence, they're very insecure.
Right.
So much so that they need to see themselves better or more entitled than the rest of the world in order for them to feel good enough.
Right.
And we, you know, we can be humble, recognize all of our inadequacies and still feel really good about ourselves.
Yeah.
And truly, you know, if I laugh at myself, it's not putting myself down. It's really because they're so funny. It's ridiculous sometimes, things that come up and whatever. Yeah. And still those things are quirks or things that we learn to appreciate about ourselves. And so, you know, the self-worth is something that is compromised with a lot of these dynamics. You know, it's funny you say that about the, you know, the smart machine that it is. I have, if you go on my reels, you'll see that they're all dancing babies, because that's what I like all the time. And then they send me more and send me more. And they're so funny, dancing yeah. baby. Has nothing to do with me, but
yeah.
But they're a lot of fun. If you guys check them out, you'll see how funny it is. They're really something.
So I have a question for, you know, from the non-therapist in the room. If now that you brought up the N-word, right, narcissism, as a non-therapist, I would look at narcissists as somebody that's a narcissist, as somebody having a high self-worth, right, of themselves. But you don't describe it as that. That's not how you define it. You define it as somebody the opposite, having less self-worth. Is it more self-love?
Right?
Is it more self-love? Or okay, so explain, Gabby.
So that's on the inside, I think. And I mean, I'm sure Lucy will elaborate on this, but what you see outwardly is exactly what you're explaining, Emmy. Like somebody that seems very confident and like they think very highly of themselves and they're the best at what they do. You know, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Lucy, what you were referring to is kind of what's underlying, what makes them be that way, right? What gives them these like these thoughts that don't make sense to the rest of us.
Yeah, right? They overcompensate for the feeling of inadequacy with that kind of, you know, when the reality is that nobody's better than anybody else, period. And when they go have to live life as though they are, they're overcompensating for something because there's a void. I don't need to be better than anybody to know my worth, to recognize the things I'm good at, the things I'm not good at. I'm going to love myself in the midst of disappointment. I mean, I can be disappointed at myself and still, that's when we need to show up for ourselves with most love, when okay. we're hurting, when I'm struggling. So the narcissist can't do that. They need to be entitled, the best and the hot shot and the last Coke in the desert at all times in everybody's eyes. And they're entitled to receive everything no matter what. And they will run over.
They're never to blame.
Exactly. Very consequential to those. And what you don't see when those things are not showing up for them, what you see is a lot of rage. That's how they talk about the rage from narcissistic individuals. So the idea is that I always say we can all have OCD traits, we can have traits of different personality, depressive traits, anxiety traits. There's different personalities and different things that we can have traits of. You know, we have full-blown OCD is very difficult and very difficult, and it's a big hardship for the person going through that. You know, some of the traits keeps us organized, keeps us proactive, we do things ahead of time. So, you know, it becomes a disorder when it gets in the way of our life. And when relationships with it, going back to the narcissist, when relationships are so compromised, people are getting so hurt, so abandoned, neglected because they're so high up that the only thing that matters is them. It's very consequential, the children as well. And when we raise our children also to be narcissist, it's really destructive. It's one of the things we need to be very careful because it's that overabundance of love, like they're better than any other kid in town. And there's no kid in town that's better than anybody else. So,
and what a better platform to show off than on social media too, as a narcissist right. too.
Right. And then when the world doesn't respond accordingly, they rage. There's a lot of, it feeds the void. The fact is that That is the void that we need to be that in order to feel fulfilled. And we never feel fulfilled because we're never that.
Right? Okay.
Not real.
So what about someone that is not necessarily a narcissist, like, you know, somebody that is just, I guess, struggling through believing, you know, they're worthy, or how does that show up, and what are some things that can be done about that? Does that make sense? Does my question make sense?
Yeah, I think that that part that I call the human condition, that we all carry a little bit of uncertainty or insecurity within us, that we need to identify it so we don't feed it. It makes us, it's just human. It's like when we're angry or sad or anxious, these are human feelings. And so that insecurity is a human experience that we need to make sure not to feed. So we recognize it. We try to, pretend there's none of that when there is. We're not acknowledging it. We're not being mindful of how to counteract that. Let's not feed it. Let's recognize be mindful and remind ourselves of all those things that there are about us to love. Look, I'm not a good cook. If my self-worth was based on my cooking skills, I'm in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have 6 kids. I've never fed them. They feed me. They I'm that bad. I've tried, and but that's, my self-worth is not based on that. It's what I do bring to the table, the love I do show up with, the consistency in my messages to them. I have other things that I can feel, recognize my worth. And so a lot of people also want those things that we aren't. And that is feeding insecurity and lack of self-worth.
And I think social media sometimes inadvertently, that the algorithm, that big intelligent machine, feeds those insecurities quite often, because we go into what people call a black hole, where something you're insecure about, you'll start looking at others who seem to have it perfected. And, you know, it's like goals. That's something you see a lot all over social media. Like, you'll see the hashtag goals, and it's like what you would like to get to. But it's almost like a constant reminder of where you're not at.
I know. That's so true.
Terrible.
I'm turning 62 now, and I have, I think they may have my birthday or something somewhere, because they're sending me all these ads that I've never clicked on and I've never really looked at. So it's not that fits my algorithm, right? Because I know that that's what it leads to, but the creepy skin, the ideal perfect body, the creepy skin is the one that gets to me. It's like, leave my skin alone. I'm 62. I bet it is what it is. You know, yeah. I put a lot of creams on. That's it.
Yeah.
But it's a kind of thing that they start putting things in your head. These things, nobody can put things in our head. We absorb them or we don't. What I'm promoting or encouraging people to do is to be mindful of what you let into your head, into your eyes, into your heart, and into your worth.
Mm-hmm.
And that will make all the difference. So you pick that.
So, and be proactive about it.
I love creams, and I'm the first time we'll try whatever cream we can. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But the negative the negative impact that it has in us is very real and needs to be respected, acknowledged by me, for me, by you, for you. Nobody can do that for you. It's self-worth. It comes from us. Nobody can give it to me. Right. So one of the biggest complications that I see also in the social media and in the attention-seeking behavior are things that lead to a lot of consequences in relationships as well. You know, exposing, you know, things that are then, you know, they're consequential to marriages, to any kind of relationship, and, you know, heterosexual, homosexual, any age, teenagers, older people, you know, people my age. It's everybody's exposed to that. I'm going to call it temptation. It's a resource that allows a lot of access to temptation. To get and what the temptation is to be recognized, to be taken notice of, somebody take notice of them.
Right. And it shortens our, our kind of, we're getting things so quickly.
Yes, immediate gratification.
Immediate gratification and immediate entertainment. Our brains are being bombarded with things constantly. Our attention span is shrinking. And so is our ability to feel discomfort. We're no longer able to kind of just sit with our sadness sometimes. And I see that happen a lot in relationships where, I've heard people say that when they get into a fight with their husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, that they'll post a selfie on social media because they want attention. And it's almost like a jab because they're angry, and it fulfills again that void being left by a partner instead of kind of facing it and fixing it and sitting with that sadness and figuring it out.
That's also so destructive to relationship dynamics, right?
Yeah.
Even if a relationship is ending, it's wounding enough to one of them that it's ending usually. And yet to use those kind of platforms for those maladaptive behaviors, it's really consequential to other people. It's like the human consideration is missing. It's, I don't even know what to call it. The humanness behind it is gone. Look, social media is not to blame for this. It's what we do with it. Social media has brought a lot of wonderful things into our lives as well. And so we need to keep true to it.
That was my next question. Considering that people are on social media, right? It's the sign of the times. People are on there. I mean, I like to go on there because I like to pick up, information and for me and I enjoy when my girlfriends are on there and they're with families and their grandkids and, just like, so knowing that social media is there as long, at least for the long haul, probably, what can people do when they are on social media? What can they do in order to get from it what they need to get from it, rather to raise them or enjoy themselves rather than taking it as negative things about them? And do you understand my question?
Yeah. Absolutely. So first of all, and Gabby, you can speak to this as well, but I'm thinking that first of all, we do the same thing that we do in our day-to-day life in the real world, that we really keep top of mind our integrity, our self-worth, our love of self was keep us very grounded in all things and moving forward, doing things, that are true to us and those that we love, and being honest with ourselves as well as those around us. I mean, it's the same thing that we do in real life. One of the things that happens behind the screen, whether it's, in any social media platform or email or whatever it is that it's as though we're behind the scene and we can get away with murder. And it's not the case. You stay with you. You're staying with yourself. You carry that inside. It's poisonous because we do have a conscience. And when we are stepping out of line, unless we're sociopaths, which is another dilemma, a topic for another conversation, we're going to feel guilt, we're going to feel shame, we're going to carry that with us. And that is the void in terms of self-worth. And so being really aligned with who we want to be, we need to align ourselves in our life and in all aspects of our life, in our friendships, in business, in our intimate life, in a professional life, all aspects of our life.
Yeah. And I think in listening to you, Lucy, and all the things you said, just to circle back to a few of them and how that you can show up in that way, in a more real way on social media, being more purposeful about it. Some just really proactive things that you can do is make good use of the mute button, right? If there are things that make you feel bad, and you know they make you feel bad, if there's things that feed your insecurity, mute those accounts. They won't show up on your profile. You won't see them anymore. Follow more positive accounts that talk about body positivity, real parents that mess up all the time and share those mess ups online that are supportive, you know, that give good advice and don't make you feel inadequate if you decide you want to do something differently. And being purposeful about following accounts like that, looking for people like that, and keeping yourself within the more real side of social media. And, you know, people who post things like you're saying, Lucy, where it's being yourself. And you said something about learning to laugh at yourself.
Yes.
If I spill coffee on my dress one morning and also drop and break my phone, that's probably something I'll share because I laughed at it and it's one of those terrible mornings. And like people will relate to that and not in a, oh God, this is what I need to reach. This is what I need to get to.
Right. And
there's so many people on social media that we see and they have this perfect image. And I sometimes think like, man, nobody understands how funny or smart this person is. Like nobody's getting that side of them because they're letting their insecurity take over.
Right. So that's what really is showing up when that's going on. That's exactly what's going
on. Yeah.
Okay. Our authentic self is what feeds our worth. It's a way to live really with our, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the stuff that we just don't, you know, our imperfections, our goofiness, our wonderful attributes as well. They all go hand in hand.
Yeah.
But you don't want to miss out on any of it. And so there's a lot of freedom that comes with that kind of self-worth. It's very liberating. And truly, you know, I know this comes with age too. As the older I've gotten, the more aware I am. I mean, you know, when we're younger, we're wanting people's approval of, you know, we want to be popular, approval of what to wear. I mean, there are things that are how I look, or there's, you know, as we get older, we get a little bit more free of those things. It doesn't mean that we don't care how we look. It means that I'm going to love myself and do what's in my hands to do to be, you know, to feel good in general, period. Mm-hmm. But embracing aging and embracing our imperfections, it's just a very liberating experience. And if there's something that for the younger people that I wish would be different, it wasn't like that for me either. I mean, it was, you know, we all go, I guess maybe there's some things that come with age, right?
Right. But that's what I was going to say.
That apply very early on to all of our lives. You know, if our kids and adolescents, young adults, really understand the concept of self-worth, it's going to bring a lot of value to their life. And it's going to prevent a lot of hurt and pain. There's a lot of destructive things that are coming from their handling social media in inappropriate ways and all narcissistic, you know, behaviors in nature. You know, there's a disconnect with our worth when we're feeding narcissistic traits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not where it lives. Our self-worth doesn't live there.
Yeah. And I think with what you were saying with age, I wish at 30, I knew what I know today, right? I would have been a much happier 30-year-old when I was like raising my three kids. I was raising them alone, well, with the help of the family. But I wish that at that time, I knew what I know now, right? And and that the kids would pick up, the younger ones would pick up more on what, you know, the older ones, us older people, talk about and recommend. And because they'll be living with more maturity and wisdom at 30 than what maybe we did at 30. And so I think that that is.
Sure they are. I mean, these are conversations. These are things that are, it's talked about now.
Right.
I think they're way
that's
ahead
true.
Of
that's true. That's true. So also I have one more question. And it's important to me because as a coach, I work a lot with goals and moving forward and the goals and stuff. And so I'm wondering, I know that you've said something about the self-worth and goals and that goals, I don't know, is it, and sometimes with the goals, I look at them as not only for others, but for me as a map or a path to where I want to move forward, where I want to move forward, right?
Right.
And so how does that connect with the self-worth that the two of you were talking about earlier?
So I mentioned goals specifically because I think that we forget that reaching for our goals and that wanting more for ourselves can coexist with being really happy with what we have right now.
Okay.
And appreciating how far we've come. So goals are healthy if you don't lose the other aspect of it and you recognize that they can coexist. Like I hope for the rest of my life to want a little more, to reach for a little more, to want to better myself. But bettering myself doesn't mean that I don't love like the beautiful disaster that I am right now at 32, you know, like I like all of that about myself and those goals are there. I think that social media can kind of bombard you with the goals of what you're not and other people your age that are where you want to be and where you know you're going to be in a few years. And you get really, really wrapped up in the idea that you won't be happy until you get this.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. That's part of self-worth because that's recognizing and valuing who we are, where we're at today.
Exactly.
In myself, I can be continue for the rest of my life until the day I die, reaching for the stars. That's my plan. What that looks like as I age, I don't know. But you know, it may be a tiny little step, and not so much reaching for the stars. But it keeps us on our tippy toes. It's because I am worthy of giving my life that kind of energy and desire and push. It is because of self-worth. That the effort that it takes to set those goals, to want something, to work for it, is there. If we don't have self-worth, it's very hard to believe in ourselves. It's very hard to put the energy into it. It's like we quit on ourselves. And so, you know, that's for sure, for sure. And it has nothing to do with where we're at is not good enough. It's just that it's a world of possibilities. And so, you know, that there's, it's a lot of fun to have things to look forward to create new things and to plan for something new. And so that's just a gift to self that also comes from self-worth.
Yeah.
Super important, I think. That's, see, if we are in that place, we're in a place of growth. Not in a place of growth in all aspects, not only, you know, in our whatever goals we're setting for ourselves, but internally. It's, you know, we're growing confidence, we're growing knowledge because I need to learn how to get there. So I'm learning a bunch of stuff along the way. I'm just growing in general. There's so many layers of growth with that kind of movement. Right. And that's what actually feeds our worth. You know, the other thing that also feeds our worth, and this is probably a statement that I'm making from personal experience more than anything, but I'm wondering if I've read this somewhere, but acts of service, that really fills the soul. It really feels, you know,
yes. It
feels like we are contributing something significant to this world, to one individual in particular, to a man, you know. And a lot of people have an issue with us saying, no, because you're doing it for personal gain, just to feel good. And there's nothing wrong with feeling
good. Why not?
There's, period. There's nothing wrong with it. Yes, by all means, I do it and I know I'm helping somebody. They have these needs and we're helping in whatever way. But, you know, there's also something that I'm getting in return. But such is life. Those are rewards to self.
I love, love, love that you brought this up, Lucy, because this is something that I think is so prominent, where if we do something kind, we have to, it's like a popular thing to say, like, I don't expect anything in return. And I joke with my patients all the time that I'm like, man, if I cook my boyfriend a big, nice meal, I tell him, you better tell me this is the best thing you've ever put in your mouth. This is the greatest tasting meal you've ever had. I do it for the praise, because that's what I enjoy and I like about cooking and feeding people. Same with, you know, paying for the person behind you in your Starbucks line. I love it when the Starbucks lady tells me, that's so nice of you, because it is so nice of me.
Yeah.
I've never done that. That's so funny. I didn't know people did that.
Yeah, people when I was, that. I think I've mentioned in other podcasts when I was sick, I went to get my nails, my awful nail, my nails done, my mani and pedi. I didn't have hair. My nails were black from the chemo. And when I went to pay, she said, oh no, somebody already paid for you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Wow, that was cool.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And doing that stuff.
And she didn't want, I'm sorry, I said, is she here? I want to thank her. And she said, no, she wanted to remain anonymous.
Wow. So
for her, that's where the value was for her.
There's good people out there.
Yeah.
So, of course, the world needs more of that. There's no narcissism in that.
It makes you feel good.
Yeah, it makes us feel good. It is of purpose. And there's something good about that for us and our self-worth for sure.
Yeah.
So
I gave a presentation before we close out. I know we're getting to the hour, but when I gave a presentation a couple of months ago on burnout and how being of service to others helps bring down the burnout and the anxiety and overwhelm, and which was a different twist. It was something that was asked of me, and I had never thought of doing that. And so that was a little bit of research and work on myself to be able to come up with a presentation like that. But it was on burnout and how to avoid burnout. And if you're stressed and overwhelmed, how being of service to others helps you in reducing that. So yes, you are doing it for others, but it's okay for you to also do it too.
So one of the things is that you get out of your own head because you're mindful of other people's struggles. And we're not happy about other people struggling. That's something that's very sad. But being able to accompany them in making it a little bit better goes a long way. It's a very soul-fulfilling experience. And so we are distracted. We're pulled away from our hustle and bustle. And that distresses us automatically. And then we're able to re-engage with our hustle and bustle with more awareness and gratitude and insight, which is, you know, it's loaded with peace rather than turmoil. Right. So it's a very therapeutic process.
Very therapeutic and
helping people.
Makes you feel good about yourself.
Encourage that people bring that into their lives and start feeling what self-worth really consists of, being, you know, humble in that we are just as human as the person struggling next to us. We're not better than them. And there's just so much of value that comes from that experience for us.
Absolutely. Yes.
I love that feeling.
Yes. And I think, I don't know, Gabby, do you have something? If not, I think this is a good place
It just to wrap up and kind of circle back, like I like to do. You know, Lucy, you said something earlier on where you said that, you know, we need to be cautious about what we're letting into our body through our eyes and our ears, which is something I talk about often on the podcast too.
You taught and me that.
I did?
Yeah.
I love that.
I love it too.
And so I think that with that, and especially with the social media series we're doing, and specifically for self-love and self-worth, be extra cautious about what you're looking at, what you're spending time looking at, and doing it, things that make you feel good about yourself, things that make you laugh, and being purposeful about, you know, reading positive things, looking at positive things, follow good news movements, follow positive affirmation pages, pages that talk about mental health, and you know, you learn from.
Yeah.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. And raising others in social media too.
Yeah.
Wonderful content out there that people are wanting to read and also are putting out there. So be part of that.
That's
what I like to engage in. There's a lot, the prayers, there's a lot of prayers that go on, and a lot of just, I mean, I have a lot of faith, so I do click on that and I do get a lot of those things. There's a lot of opportunity for insight, psychological insight and mindfulness. Yeah. Just is so much wonderful stuff to do with it. That's a commitment to self, that we're going to stick to things that actually help us grow, feed our self worth, and help us be better people on this planet that we all live in.
Yep.
Yep. Love that.
I love it. What a great place to close out.
To close out, yes. So, Gabby, I think this is a wrap.
That's a wrap. Thank you,
That's
Lucy.
That's a wrap. Bye.
Thank you. A big hug.
Bye.